Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is Jack Watts for Jack Watts Live, broadcasting to you today from the 10th floor of the We Believe Tower in Midtown Atlanta, overlooking the majestic Buckhead skyline, where the days are growing shorter as we are nearing the solar time when the winter solstice. I knew there was a word for that. I just hadn't come up with it yet. All right, we have a lot to talk about today, and I'm very interested in, to begin with, we're going to talk a little bit about Obamacare, but I want to talk a little before that about Benghazi. Last night, there was a 13-minute leading vignette about Benghazi broadcasted by Laura Logan of 60 Minutes. Now, for my listeners, many of whom think that because something is from CBS, or any of the others, that means that by nature it's going to be a cover-up for Obama because they're in the tank with him. And there's at least some truth to that. Now, that isn't true of Laura Logan. If you'll remember, a couple of years ago, she's South African. So she comes from a culture entirely different than ours. She was in Cairo for the autumn, spring, when Morsi was coming to power, and you know, isn't Islam wonderful, you know, for Obama and you know, and the love for the Muslim Brotherhood, and oh, we need to get rid of the terrible dictator in Egypt, and allow democracy to flourish in this great ancient nation of Egypt. Well, as the mob was taking over, Laura Logan was broadcasting for CBS, and she was essentially kidnapped, and she was been sodomized repeatedly. She ended up not being killed, but it was obviously a terrible experience for this woman, who testified before Congress about it and was very candid. And she's as brave a woman as you could possibly imagine. All right, now, that being the case, she got up there and she said many things that we have talked about for close to 2 years, a little over a year. And I remember watching it, and when 60 Minutes broadcast something, Dick's on the line, my brother, so I'm just going to say, you know, over the years we've seen 60 Minutes, and they can put out some pretty good stuff, and they're very hard hitting. They don't hold punches, and she didn't hold any punches really on Benghazi. Now she didn't mention the name of Hillary Clinton. They didn't mention the name of Barack Obama, but they did have the second in command, who was there, and it was very compelling, his interview with her. And he said, when you're out there on the front lines and you're attacked, the assumption is the cavalry is going to come after you and rescue you. We put our lives and our necks on the line for this country. And when we're out there, we expect, if something happens, that a good faith effort is put forward to take care of us and to help us.
Nobody has ever left us.
And, you know, that's not what happened. I remember as I was watching this, it made my blood boil because this particular subject always does. And I thought that there wasn't – here's the important part about this thing, Dick. There wasn't any real new information that came out. Not for us, because we've seen stuff. We've seen what some of the alternative places have put out that tell us that, you know, that there was some gun running that was going to arm Al-Qaeda in Syria, and that that's what Obama doesn't really want anybody to know. And that some of the other things and the literally cash that was given to some of these people in suitcases full of cash. So just things of that nature. But we've seen all that. The importance of this piece is that the people who never watch Fox News, who never would watch any of these little websites that put out some patriotic links and stuff like that,
Heritage and the like.
Yeah. They watched 60 Minutes. So there are people, millions, who for the first time have really gotten the message, well, everything doesn't meet the eye like you would think it would, because, you know, and they also, in the whole thing, didn't go into the massive cover-ups of both Obama and Hillary Clinton. None of those things were in there.
And Susan Rice.
But they were.
And Susan Rice.
Yes. The president's national security advisor, what a joke. Anyway,
yeah.
All of this stuff was in there. But this is the first time that there's been a real crack in the mainstream liberal media. And Laura Logan, I need to tell you, listen, this woman is pretty good. And, you know, I wouldn't – if she says something, I think that you can count on it being true. I do not think that she would – is a Kool-Aid drinker, or that she would cover up anything – knowingly to slant what she was doing. That's all you can ask.
Well,
she's
English too, though. She's English. She doesn't have any homeland here to worry about going back home and having somebody, you know, cause any uproar.
She's South African, I believe. But
South African.
But it's a really difficult thing for us who know things and who have known them for a long, long time to just seeing that it gets spinning along and really not the kind of progress that you would expect and hope for. But it's, you know, it's a hard, hard thing now. You know, as we have gone over the $17 trillion, which is, you know, which we did, what, about a month ago, it's actually already 17.1, 17, yeah, it's 17.1 trillion already, so it's way over, you know, what it was. That makes it, you know, well, you know, we are kind of getting pretty heavy in debt. And as the president's approval rating goes down and continues to go down, the Real Clear Politics average has him at negative 0.5, 0.9. And that's approval 45, disapproval 50.9. So it's 45 to 51, essentially. And that's the average. You know, when you get to the, you know, the Fox poll that they just took, it's 12 points negative. CNN has him at 10 points negative. So, you know, there isn't any poll that's out that doesn't have him in negative numbers. And here's what they're thinking in the White House. We have to do something to turn this around, to get things going back in the right direction for us, with the goal of retaking the House of Representatives in 2014, putting Pelosi back in as the Speaker of the House, and pushing through all the rest of the Obama agenda, having both houses and the presidency and clear road ahead. But that's not happening. Thank God. They can't get the momentum. They can't get the traction. And part of it, a large part right now, I mean, what's dominating the news? Several things. But, you know, obviously Obamacare. It isn't just that the website doesn't work. People are getting canceled. They're saying that they're going to get them fined. And even if they got the website up and working perfectly in the next couple of weeks, they can't handle the traffic that would be required to get everybody registered. And, I mean, it's going to take them, they said that this website is geared for 50,000 people. You do the math. Take 50,000 people a day. And in a month, how many people would that be? 1,500,000?
Yeah.
They
need 37 million to make it work, is what I heard.
There's not enough time to do it. I mean, if you can, it'll take them 15 or 20 years. And nobody's just bothered to do the math. But they have bothered with the math to piss away $634 million on a website.
And right.
Now I want to tell you, I have done websites, and I can't imagine how they could spend that kind of money. And even worse, you have to give all of your information, and they say on the website that there is no reasonable expectation of privacy. You have to give your private
information. That's exactly what you want to hear, isn't it? You want to give them your Social Security number and all your health records, and that's what you want to hear. I don't think so.
Well, let's just take a bank, for example. Let's just say First National Bank. First National Bank of Ludowice, Georgia. And they say, all right, we have online banking, and we're going to take your Social Security number, your bank number, obviously, and your code word. Now, we're going to make these things to where, you know, anybody can get at them. I mean, there's no reason that they need to be private, is there? I mean, you know, just because you've got your money in there, just because you've got your portfolio. I mean, banks have to just, you know, the security in all of these banking institutions is, and they have to worry about it every day. And identity theft. I mean, they're on this stuff. Why can't the federal government, if they think that they're going to be better at all of this, and they do, they think they're smarter than we are, they think that they can do it better than we can do it, and they think that it's their right to tell us what in the hell to do, And yet when they have got the power to do it, absolutely do not know what they're doing, and they won't even admit that they're incompetent. They won't even admit it. Pretty clear to me. Pretty clear to you.
Well, is another word for incompetence called a glitch? Is that another word for it? I'll have to check my fucking Wagnall.
Well, the glitch is that, and you know, and here once again, Obama is shocked and outraged, but he didn't know that it was happening. And he didn't know it was happening because that's what they said. So we're supposed to take him at face value. Now, how many times can your dog eat your homework and you not have it for school? And that be an acceptable excuse? I suppose people have used it for years. I suppose you get away with it once. If you're a particularly good liar, you might be able to get away with it twice. But you wouldn't be able to get away with it about 10 different things. And let's just think of the things where Obama is shocked and outraged that he didn't know about. He didn't know about Fast and Furious. He didn't know about the Celinda scandal. He didn't know about NSA. Huh?
Wait, the second one, which one did you say?
Solyndra? All of the money that was, you know, that was given, and you know, here he was. He stood up there. This is an example of green energy, and this is what we want. And that, you know, they had a model that, you know, that was destined to fail, and they just kept pouring governmental money into it, and you know, it was all crony capitalism. And, you know, they've shut down the inquiry into that stuff. He didn't know really what was going on at Benghazi. He didn't know anything.
Well, I heard today, too, that he didn't know that they've been monitoring the different countries' rulers for the last 5 years, either. Their telephone conversations. He knew nothing about that.
Well, I think that they really started doing this after 9/11. So it was more like 2002. And this is something, you know, this one he can't blame on Bush. I mean, it started, massive operation to gain intelligence.
Well, you know, you knew Bush knew about it, but you don't think that Obama, nobody ever said anything to him for 5 years that they were monitoring the leaders of our the friendly nations that we deal with? He knew nothing about that? Come on, I don't buy that.
I don't buy it either, but, honestly, I would have a little bit more respect for him if he did know about it and he was behind it.
Yeah.
He'd say, you know what? We need the information. You know, the French are all ticked off at us for, and Germans for spying. They invented spying. I mean, that's exactly true. The Germans and the French and the British are the three great powers of Europe are the ones that started spying and followed closely by the Russians and the Italians.
We just do it better than they do.
Well, you know, I think that's part of what is so bothersome with these people is that we have the technological capacity to do things that they are not capable of doing. And, you know, this they're all, you know, they're just all so angry about the Snowden who just keeps letting out one thing after the other. And, you know, here he is over there, and he's in the protection of the Russians who will not give him up. And, you know, when Obama went to that G20, he insulted the Russians, who are all Orthodox. And, you know, by going and meeting with some of these gay groups and moralizing to Putin what, you know, about the great virtues of anal intercourse to a Orthodox audience in Russia, offending them by the millions, and now we're paying for it.
Yeah.
Now we're paying for it. You know, it's almost kind of like, you know, I'll give you a little slap in the face, and then, you know, we just drop a bomb on your house. What we have done...
Don't you think that Snowden now is a little bit up Obama's keister?
Well, I'm afraid that there's some...
Turn around is fair play.
Yes. And, of course, you know what? This Halloween just... I wonder, is he going to be the Joker again? And Michelle Obama is that woman? Well, we'll just see. We'll just see.
Yeah.
At any rate, here we are, and now all internationally, our friends are mad at us after we've been humiliated in the Middle East by the Russians. The Saudis are wondering, are we in a good situation, because we're here with, you know, we have all of our eggs in the American basket, and they're not very comfortable with what's going on. Obama can't see which direction to go. We're losing prestige with our in the world. George Bush was not respected, but he was feared. Obama is neither respected nor feared.
Exactly.
The only program that he is doing really well is the drone program. And there are these international groups that are, you know, filing that he's a war criminal because of all of the collateral damage that comes as a result of him. And I'm going to be honest with you. You know, I'm going to give Obama a pass on this one. I don't care if there's collateral damage in those places where every single person there wants, you know, the great Satan, which is us, annihilated. Hell with them. Now, I'll say this. If another country were to fly a drone, over in our nation, you know, and decide, well, you know, we're going to take out this leader and that because we don't like them, I would find that unacceptable. But see, that's the difference between having power and not. And you need to use power sometimes. And power in international politics, punitive. And that, you know, that we have people that are systematically trying to destroy us is clear. Now, domestically, my thought about what is going on with Obamacare is, you know, if I were in office running for the Senate or for the House of Representatives, I would not say or do anything. I would just let this monstrosity implode, because that's what's happening, and we don't even have to pile on. We don't have to say, well, this is terrible when people, you know, are finding out that when they, you know, that when they get their new bill, that it's double or more than what they were paying, and that their deductible is three and four times what it was. And they're not getting even some of the same services. And it's kind of like, we have been lied to. there, you know, this consistent promise of people are going to save $2,500 per family isn't true. And I wonder how much and how long do we have to go on with this without someone saying, wait a minute, if a law has been said that it was one, if it's an absolute lie, if we've been lied to, shouldn't that be repealed? I mean, is it, if it's just an out-and-out lie, which it is.
Absolutely.
It's not cheaper.
Become a law by them lying to Congress and getting people, you know, they threw some money here so that this guy got a bridge built so he would turn around and vote for it. I mean, the whole thing is just a huge debacle. It's ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
We're all
mm-hmm.
suffering.
Yeah. Exactly right. So, you know, I think of this Bart Stupak. Do you remember that name?
What is it?
Bart Stupak, S-T-U-P-A-K. He was a congressman from Michigan. I think even in the Upper Peninsula. I'm not sure about that. But he was kind of the Democrat that was highly involved in the pro-life cause. And there were maybe six or eight other people that were in alliance with him that were all Democratic congressmen. And, you know, he was not going to sign, you know, and vote for Obamacare if there was going to be federally funded abortions part of it. And so Obama cut a deal with him and said there will be no federal funding for abortions in Obamacare. Just vote for it. So he voted for it, and, you know, he just got snookered. All of those six or seven Democrats, you know, got voted out. And the whole thing was a complete fiasco. And, of course, now Obamacare pays for abortion. And they want to insist that Catholic hospitals are saying, you know, we're not going to do it at all. We'll close down before we do that. And so herein is this war on Catholicism and, you know, and Christian doctors who don't want to perform abortion. The whole thing's a mess. It's getting worse. It's going to continue to get worse. Now, in all of this mess and mayhem that is going on, there are a couple of bright spots, and one of them is the Red Sox won last night by picking off Wong, who did the Wong thing, and the Cardinals... The Cardinals lost, which is just wonderful. At any rate, Game 5 is tonight, and we're out of time. So let me just say, go Red Sox. Thank you for calling, Richard, and we will talk to you next week. And God bless you, and God bless the United States of America. Good night.